Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm your co-host, Jeannie Rice. We also have co-host Dr. Tim Hayes. And today is Wednesday, July the 2nd, 2014. And we welcome you to the show. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. And we would love to hear your comments and your questions, because then that makes this your show. And I'm not sure where Michael is yet. He didn't call in yet, so I am on as host. So hopefully he'll join us here in a moment. Sometimes the signal's hard to get when you're in Theodosia at Heartland, which is where he is. So first, let's welcome Dr. Tim, and then I see we already have a hand up, which I think is Mr. Rex.
Well, hello.
Hi, how are you doing? You getting ready for the fourth festivities?
Yes. I have a couple more busy days of work, but then Friday's a holiday, so we'll be with family and friends and just trying to relax a little bit.
Awesome.
And as usual, on a Wednesday, we have a support group report because our support group was last night, and it was another one of those fabulous evenings where somebody decided to do a worksheet and get supported at a level that, I had to clear my throat, to get supported at a level that you just can't have when you're at home doing a worksheet alone. And because of the support they felt, they were able to get in touch with some stuff that they'd been blocking from their conscious awareness for a lot of years. And they had a wonderful, powerful release. We had 10 people plus me, and there was a brand new person there who'd never been to a group before, and somebody who'd only had their second attendance at a group meeting. And so it was a wonderful, powerful display of the worksheet process, how it can help, what it can unlock in us that we don't need to carry around with us, and how we end up feeling sometimes much lighter, much better, much more loving as a result of this forgiveness process. So it was absolutely delightful.
Awesome. It's always cool when that comes around like that, and the willingness of people to go there. That's what I think it takes to take it to that next level. And I'm really thrilled that your group has grown the way it has, both in number, but also emotionally and mentally and spiritually, how it's just grown. So that's phenomenal.
Yeah, it is quite the blessing in my life. And so I once again just want to send out thanks to everybody who participates in that group and brings their willingness and their love to support others and their willingness to be honest with their own issues, because that's what it takes to open that space for healing. And as Michael says from A Course in Miracles, when you heal, you're never healed alone. And millions yet unborn will benefit from the work you do today in healing yourself and healing the energy on the planet. So, and that's the core of our work. And I suppose the Rex might have some
input
about what happened on
the, too.
His support group and the prison maybe. And
I would love to share. Thank you, Dr.
Awesome.
Kim.
Welcome, Rex.
Hi, Jeannie.
Good to hear from you.
And it's great to be alive. And I was listening to Ina, Dale Allen Hoffman's CD, and boy, just fascinating. He's just a wealth of knowledge and love and expression, and it's very inspiring. So I would encourage anyone to tap into that and listen to it, and also come to our program on Friday when we have Dale here as a host with Michael. And it's just awesome. He's an awesome human being doing some great work on the planet and bringing forth the with clarity from a slightly different angle, but just resonating the truth. And that's really, in a nutshell, been the theme. I mean, quite often we ask Dr. Kim what the theme is, and the theme I'm seeing over and over again is the importance of being love. The importance of accepting and allowing that to be who and what I am in every moment. And everything else becomes a part of that, and it in every waking moment is my primary goal, is to be aware of the love that I am. And I encourage that with everyone, and what I'm finding is everything seems to come from that. And I'm using the word seems to. It's by my experience that everything comes from that love. And as I'm listening to different teachers and different reading different books, and I pulled out a book from Leonard Orr. Remember the rebirthing community back in the 70s, Jeannie and Dr. Tim? I pulled out an old book that he had that was written in the 70s, and just extracting the information out of that that might be valuable in the present moment is just really exciting. Our support group was phenomenal. I've seen levels of unraveling and integration taking place. It's just very powerful. I know Michelle, she may be on the program. I don't know if she's on now, Jeannie. Is she on?
I don't see her number right now.
Okay. Well, she'll come on, I'm sure. I anticipate that. But she was there at the group, and Tony, and we had a wonderful group of people. I think we had there were six of us. You know, like you, Dr. Tim, I'm finding more and more all the time how powerful the group is and what we have are in the process of allowing to be created, you know. Just to letting the love be the expression. And we watched, I had an email sent to me from a friend, Anita Morajani, the lady who had the near-life experience. I don't know if you know who she is. She wrote a book about death. I can't remember the name of the book, but I was exposed to her, and so we kind of tune into that, and we listen to an 18-minute presentation of her experience, and synthesizing it down to a real simple message from my perspective of hearing what I heard was that when I was in that space, anybody I would think of, I was aware of everything they were feeling and everything they were thinking and where they were. And I was aware of being everywhere, but I still felt it was me. And I was love, and that's really given it a short definition. It isn't really telling you what really happened. It was pure unconditional love, but that's not really, you know, expressing it. And she just goes on to talk about how that is our job, is to be the love that we are, to allow that to be our expression. And I just, you know, I've noticed that with my theme sometimes. So I'm pretty sure I'm right on with this one. But it's just that we are love, we are being love, and that's really the whole enchilada. And it's about removing all the other things out of the way. So that's what we've been doing in the group. And then we watched Codependency to Interdependency, the first portion of it. And we did the exercise, and we got through the exercise, and just a whole bunch of things got triggered in the group and individuals, and we opened up a discussion and processed and did some forgiveness work, and ended up not going back to the DVD because there was just so many things that were stirred up in the moment, and we'll go back to it and finish it when we do our group next time. But that was the group process, and I would love to see Michelle. Jeannie, maybe you could drop her a note and see if she's available, because we had a really powerful experience in the prison yesterday, and I would really love to share it. But I'd also...
I'll do that.
Thank you. Our first group, level four, has been canceled. So we're unable to fulfill that group. We had three participants left, and that was just too small for them to be able to keep the program going with the guards there and so on and so forth. So that got canceled, but we had three more that came from level four that came back to the group in level two. So we had 19 or 20 in the group in level two, which was interesting, and there were three of them that had attended their initial classes and one of the first classes or second classes of the Laws of Living and or the forgiveness work, and they just showed up. And they showed up right at the time when we did the exercise in lesson eight, or the end of lesson seven, where you look to the right of your person beside you and you tell them what you admire and what's beautiful about them. So I'm kind of leading into it, and I'm trying to hesitate. I'm not trying. I'm hesitating here because I love Michelle. When I'm unable to participate, she waits, and then when she's unable to participate, I wait. But it was a very powerful experience, and when she shows up, I'd love to share more about it. We are going to start our next class. It looks like possibly the 29th of July will be our next class, and it will be codependency to interdependency. So I'm excited, and we're excited about that, and we're going to put together a curriculum for the course, and it'll be taught over a 6 to 8 week period. And that's really amazing, and that's just some of the things that are happening. So Michelle's not on yet. Is anybody there?
I'm here, Rex. You're here.
Oh, good. I know how that feels sometimes when it's like, is anyone there? So Jeannie must be on mute, or she got this.
I actually had just flipped over to see if I could call Michael to find out. I've texted him, and I've texted some of the people at Heartland to see what's going on there, and I was just flipping over to try to call him. And
yep.
I did send a message to Michelle as well, so being off the phone for a second, my apologies. But neither of them are with us. So.
Well, I think I'll wait, and hopefully she'll come on, and I'll keep my hand up, and I'll mute my phone. Unless there is something that you both had to share or would like to ask or discuss or anything along that line?
Someone in the chat room just said the name of the book is Dying to Be Me.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, yes. You're welcome.
And just such a beautiful human being, so loving, talked about her experience with death, where she was in a coma and her body had swelled up because all the organ systems started falling, just shutting down. And evidently, she was fully conscious throughout the whole process, and they were talking about, you know, that she was dying and that she would be dead shortly, and all her organs were shutting down, and her body was shutting down, and she had a profound experience of being in that space of love. And she said she didn't go anywhere. She said, we don't go anywhere when we die. You're just present, you know, and it was so interesting because as many of the things that I've had an experience of personally with Journey transitioning my son a year and a half ago or so. And that, you know, one of the main things I heard him say to me is that I was so sad that he had left. And he said, well, Dad, I didn't go anywhere. I'm everywhere. And that is such a powerful reminder to me of awareness. You know, the presence of love is everywhere and exists everywhere, and to the degree that I'm willing to be aware of it is to the degree that I'm willing to be aware of whatever's happening anywhere. And I think all of us are still here, regardless of whether or not we've laid a body down. There isn't anywhere to go. It's just another place that we don't necessarily... What's that?
I was just going to say, I couldn't help but think of something when my son was small, and everybody has seen the picture of like the angel watching over the children crossing over the bridge or whatever. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I had that picture when I was little, and I'd had it reframed and redone and hung up in my son's room. And one night he, you know, didn't want to stay in his bedroom, and he said he was afraid and all that. And so I kind of pointed to the picture and I said, you know, I said, you've got somebody watching over you all the time. You're safe. And he looked at me and he says, but Mom, I want somebody with skin on them. And so it's sometimes it's like you were saying, yeah, we know that they're still here, but we miss being able to touch and hold the one that's got skin on them. You know, it's just.
And that's very real. That's an experience that's very well spoken, because that's the experience. And I just flat out said, well, I miss talking with you physically. I miss being able to hold you and, you know, smell your head. I know that sounds odd to some people, but I didn't really comprehend why I enjoyed doing that. But studies they're finding recently in studies and scientific studies, they are finding that the bonding to an infant is there's pheromones that are actually emit from an infant's skin and mostly off their head. And they're pheromones that when siblings or parents actually hold the baby close to them and just breathe in their fragrance, then their relationship with them will be solidified and the bonding will be really strong. And those that didn't had a much different experience later on when the children grew up. And they've done long-term studies of that, and they're now saying it. And what's happening in the hospital, Mitzi's been sharing this with me of late, they're on a total shift in the last year to where now they're saying, we must get the baby next to the skin. We must get the baby next to this. Put her next to mama's skin. Take the clothes off, put the baby next to the skin, wrap the baby. You know? And they're just really, and Mitzi's just smiling, and she goes, I've been sharing this for 30 years. Thank goodness you guys are finally catching on. So that fragrance and that presence, or that physical presence, is, and what they're suggesting is that is the pure love that the baby is exhibiting, that we are, that we can actually smell it.
That's awesome. That. I hadn't heard it that way. That is phenomenal. And Michelle just came on, so I have turned her on. Hi, Michelle. Welcome.
Hi there, everybody.
Hi, Michelle.
Hey, Rex, did you talk about our last day in Laws of Living?
Actually, I shared about our support group just briefly that we listened to the lady that wrote the book, Miss Morajani, I think her name is Anita. And I opened up about what we did, but I didn't get into anything because I was waiting for you. So I just mentioned that we did that exercise where we looked at the person next to them, and I just was waiting for you. I was hoping you'd come on. So.
Okay.
So did you have something you wanted to share? Because you were the first one to share it. We started with, I was sitting on Michelle's right, and then she was on my left. So the exercise is in lesson 7 of in the end of lesson 7 in the Laws of Living is that you look to the right, the person on your right, and you tell them what you find beautiful. And I added what you admire and appreciate and what you find beautiful. And what was the other part of it?
Good.
Yes, good and beautiful. And then so Michelle started and she shared that about me. And then I went down, stepped down and sat in front of an inmate that was to my right and started with him as well. So Michelle, Did you want to start with that, or?
That was kind of a surprise because I wasn't aware of that exercise, and so then I remember feeling really frozen in that moment because all eyes were on me, and they were all like chuckling because they're like, "Oh gosh, Michelle has to say something that's good and beautiful about Rex," and so I felt like a lot of pressure. And I invited Rupert Akucha to help me find the right word so that I could eloquently express how much.
Thank you for listening.
I've done that. You press the outro button by accident. Good one, Jeannie.
What fun.
It's a panic moment, that's for sure. That actually describes how I was feeling with all the prisoners looking at me. And then here I'm going to say very sentimental, very heartfelt, very loving words to Rex while they watched and listened. And later on in the support group, Rex thanked me for my kind words. I'm like, dude, I wasn't talking about you. It's talking about me. So it was funny. So then they got an idea of what was expected. And what was cool is some guys really, really knew each other well, and they could add a lot of depth to their disclosures in terms of what they admired most. But just as profoundly, there was one guy who was a level 4 who came into this group for the very first time into the twos. And he didn't know a soul. And evidently he's been doing some work because he looked at the guy that he did not know and proceeded to, oh my gosh, it was so beautiful, to share everything that was good and beautiful about this complete stranger in terms of what he saw in his humanity. And the humility and just the essence of him as a being of pure love, despite anything on the outside or behaviors that would say otherwise. And actually, Rex, don't you think that was probably the best one? I did.
Yeah, that was definitely profound for me as well. And he even acknowledged, I don't know you, but based on what I do know is that we are all one. And because of that oneness, I recognize the beautiful being that you are. So something like that, and it was like, wow, you know?
Yeah, wow. Our mouths were hanging open on that one.
And it was awesome because he had attended the Why Is This Happening to Begin series in level 4, and then he attended one class in level, the first class of Laws of Living in level 4, and then he got changed into work duty and couldn't participate for the rest of the time. And then he worked through his process to get shifted from level 4 to level 2, which is a big jump in the system. And then he started coming back to the class, and he's real excited about being in the class, and he's going to be coming to the next class as well. So I really stretched the rules because we had the level 4 got canceled. So we opened up the class to allow people from level 4 that had participated. And so we had 3 new people that are really fresh to the material and didn't really know it, but they caught on pretty quick, and I spent a few minutes reviewing just basics, and then we went through the exercises, and we got through level 7, and or session 7, and we're halfway through 8 now, or 3/4 of the way through 8 as well. I also, in addition to that one gentleman, my experience was watching all of these guys share from the, Michael, your phone's really loud. Hey, brother. Beautiful.
I'm muted. It's somebody else.
Oh, you're muted. It's somebody else. Awesome. Well, I just thought it was you, but it isn't. So the experience, whoever it was, did mute because I can't hear it anymore. Watching these guys in a prison that has, I mean, if you've watched some of the TV programs about how violent the prisons can be, it's really accurate. I mean, it can be very violent, and this is one of the worst prisons in Michigan. It's a penal institution of penal institutions, and they basically, everybody who gets, who screws up or messes up in the other institution gets sent to here in Ionia or to Marquette, the two worst prisons, and then that's where they get punished for being, you know, not behaving. Well, going from 4 to 2 is a big stage, and these guys came in, and they were really amazing. So we're sitting here doing this exercise, and there's 20 of us, or 22 of us counting us, and I'm watching these guys, and they're sharing things about their brothers that is just beautiful. And I was smiling the whole time. I mean, honestly, it just was, I felt so touched in my heart by what they shared about each other, and there was some humor, some lightheartedness in what they shared and how they appreciated and saw the beautiful and their partner. It was just, I thought, a really wonderful class. We spent about 35, 40 minutes in that exercise going through it, and I thought that that was just profound. There was such, to watch these guys in this really harsh environment be an example of love and soft and just show their belly, their underbelly, and be vulnerable and open and just say it, what they really think about their friend or their some of them were bunkies and some of them were just on the same floor, so they had interactions. And there were probably 5 or 6 of them that didn't even know the person they were talking about and just said some beautiful things. One guy was brand new. He'd never been in a class yet. Oh, that was a breaking the rule, but, you know, whatever. But he said to the guy across from me, he says, I've seen you from a distance. I've never talked with you and I've never seen you. I never have interacted with you directly, but I've watched you from a distance. And you seem to have an air about you that people really come to you or they look up to you. And there's just something about you that is just magnetic, you know, and you seem to have a wisdom. And he just started talking like that. Now, imagine this is in a prison system where, you know, they've got, I mean, it's harsh. And it was just beautiful to see that. So that's kind of what I've got for right now.
Awesome, Rex. And I'm wondering, with these new Level 4 guys coming in, does that mean the guys who were in the Level 4 class that couldn't complete, that they can now participate? Are they in it?
Well, it's Level 4 that were switched to Level 2 in the system. So now they're Level 2. So they were able to come to the class.
Right. Okay, I got it.
And we have, I think we have 2 or 3 that in Level 4 that weren't able to finish that still wanted to finish. And so I'm going to work out, we were talking to one of them, we saw him on yard duty, and we invited him to come to the next class for sure, and what we're inclining to do, if we're able to, is to take them aside and do the quick evaluation and see if we can give them the answers and work with the answers on the last lesson and get that done anyway, you know, and just kind of work with the system and work around it. But we're going to do our best to fulfill the commitment we have to them and they made to us.
Very
in
cool.
The program.
Well, congratulations and thank you to both of you. It's awesome.
Well, it's a whole team of people. I mean, we've got people that have donated money and have been supporting us financially and, you know, in our extended family and in the our community, and it's a lot of love and a lot of support. And
Rex, I think that I'd want to specifically extend gratitude and appreciation towards our Mind Shifter group because it meets on Tuesday. I can think of so many days where stuff comes up in prison, and then being able to process it with the loving support of that Mind Shifter group is what gets me or helps me to, like, you know, continue that process, heal, and then be ready for next Tuesday.
Cool.
That's very true.
Well, I'm excited that the next level is going to be the codependence work. That's fabulous, and I look forward to seeing how that unfolds because that's going to open another whole space.
Awesome. Well, I'm going to go on mute unless there was anything else, and we'll see, you know, Michael, your program, you obviously want to do something there, and if we have any callers, I'd love to hear them as well.
Delighted.
Blessings. Thank you, everyone. Appreciate your love and support.
All right. Thank you, Rex. And Michelle?
Sorry, I unmuted.
Your heart?
Yes, Michael, hi.
Michelle, maybe when you complete, if you could give me a call on my cell, I'd love to chat for a minute.
I will.
Okay, cool. So, Jeannie, is there anything happening in the chat room that we should be aware of, or anybody in the phone queue with a hand up?
No, it's quiet in the chat room, and nobody has their hand up right now. So 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue. If you're already on the switchboard, you press 1, you're immediately in.
Cool. In the meantime, while we're waiting to see what happens next, I'd like to just invite support. Terry Bowling, you've heard us talk of Terry before. He's been at Heartland. He was at Heartland for a couple of years. He does a support group in Asheville, North Carolina. And if everybody would just hold a space for Terry and his family, his son in particular is 18 and got himself in a little bit of difficulty with the law. Over alcohol and pot. It's interesting that we live in a culture that it's my right to drink, it's my right to use pot, and suffering the trauma that happens around it is just so monumental. But also I think that it put me on notice of some things I've sort of been aware of, and I'd just like to open it to the whole community to hold a space for a shift to happen in this regard. But this young man was put into a private jail over, you know, he was drinking and 18, underage drinking. And when his father found out, he contacted the jail in order to go in and visit his son. And they said, you have to go to this website and register to be a visitor. So he went to the website and he registered to be a visitor. And then what the next screen that came up was, this inmate does not have any visiting privileges, but you can buy visiting privileges. So here's a young man at 18 years of age. His father can't go and see him in jail unless he pays the private prison. Like, it's time for this insanity to stop. It's time for us to start to speak up in our communities and take action on what's insane before the whole culture just collapses in this insanity. So here's a father who finds out his son's in jail, wants to go see him the next day. In order to do it, buy a visit. And then on comes a commercial for, and by the way, if you want to, you know, make sure your loved one in jail has what they need, you can put money in for the commissary so they can, you know, buy things like a toothbrush and such. And then after he left the website, he shared with me that it's just so bizarre. He gets a phone call from a machine, and the machine says, an inmate in the Buncombe County Jail is calling you. Will you accept the charges? Agrees to pay for the call. The call to talk to his son for up to 10 minutes is $15. Now, notice that you and I do cell phones for, you know, a penny a minute, 2 pennies a minute or whatever. $15 for up to a 10-minute call. And then when they connected him, the line was blank and dead. And he's out $15. And then he finds out as he's talking to a caseworker, you know, son's 18, getting ready to go to college. If your son gets convicted on this pot charge, he will be ineligible for grant. But he can get student loans. Put on Facebook last week, but the U.S. government made more money on student loan debt than any of the top five Fortune 500 companies. Loan debt from students. This is just runaway insanity. And, you know, if you're sitting at home and you know better, then you got to get off your butt and do something. It's, if people don't start to wake up, this whole game is becoming so bizarre. So bizarre. So we just invite you, if you're in a community where, and, you know, another piece of information I just bought it on Facebook yesterday, was that in 1980, I think it was 83, there were 1,800 SWAT team attacks in this country. So the SWAT team went out and went after somebody. In 2013, there were 80,000 of them. 80,000 people had a SWAT team at their door in America last year. This is just runaway police state stuff, and we need to wake up. We need to start to change this game. And, of course, when we start insisting that our communities go back to peace officers instead of law enforcement, when we insist that our young people are given the tools to learn how to live, truly live out of the truth of who they are as love, then this game is going to change. And, you know, I'm just putting out a call to action. You know, everything that we do with this work, every asset we have, every penny we have is about how do we get this to the next level? How do we make it available? Whether it's Rex and Michelle investing and going into the prison and the people who are financially supporting them and doing that, whether it's Marianne Wise who's working on getting into the prison system in Asheville, North Carolina, you know, everything, every resource we've got and every way we can support. And we need more support. It's Jeannie and I. We can't do it ourselves. We need help. We need other people to speak up. We need other people to move forward. We need other people to help to finance and support these things. And so if that makes any sense to you, then I invite you to look at what's your purpose, what's your part in the plan. Into a jail, if it's to go in and talk to the sergeant and say, I want SWAT teams to stop, if it's to go into the local grocery store and say, you know, I don't want food from Mexico, a place where they still spray DDT and defecate in the fields. I want food from America. I want to support American companies. If that's your part, do your part. If it's to get on our website and click PayPal and send a donation or look up our address and send us a check to support us, you know, I very rarely bring up the idea of money, but the number of projects and what's happening is huge, what's needed. And so I just invite you to look, and if it's your purpose, participate on another level. Get ready to open up on another level. And kind of one of the things that reinforced that for me this morning is that I got a call from a young man in Asheville, or pardon me, from Atlanta. And his father has been to Heartland, oh, probably 20 times over the years. He passed away about 2 years ago. One of his sons had been lost in drugs and alcohol, came and spent 2 years at Heartland. Some of you know him. Spent 2 years at Heartland and is now has a degree, a master's degree, and he's a doctor of chiropractic and just really moving and shaking in the healing community. Coming from, you know, a space of basically just lost. And 2 years of being here and doing his work just really brought about major shifts, and he went back to school, got his degree, got his master's degree, went to chiropractic college, became a chiropractor, and is changing the world. You know, this is the kind of impact we can have when we work bringing this forward. That's one of the reasons for Heartland being here. But what really struck me this morning is that I got a call from another one of his sons who's having a challenge with drugs, and he was getting ready to do an assessment with a local therapist and see what he needed to do. And he told me he went into prayer. And in prayer, and he said, this was really weird because this never happened to me before. He said, in prayer, he said, a voice inside my head. He said, it was just like it was something inside of me. A voice inside my head said, Heartland. He picked up the phone and called us, and he's going to be here on Monday. But what really brought it all together is part of the conversation was because his dad, Randolph Vance, is a chiropractor, 30 years, Dr. Randolph Vance really loved Heartland, and one of his wishes was that his ashes would be here at Heartland. And so I had shared with his son that we had not done a ceremony around his father's ashes at that point. His son broke into tears. Ceremony. But I actually have 4 bags. I was talking to Jim this morning. I have 4 bags of 4 different people's ashes that wanted to be here at Heartland. And as I was talking to Jim, I went over and picked up the box, bags. Here's where everybody ends up. I literally have in my front room what's left of the bodies of 4 of my friends, actually 3 of my friends and my mother. When you look at it, it's just a little box, bag of white ashes. What does your life count for? What are you doing with it? And if you're not moving and doing enough to make a lasting mark, then I invite you to do that. What is it going to take? What do you need to give up? What do you need to engage in? Because we're at a time in the whole process of what's going on in the world where we're either going to move up to the next level or the insanity is going to move us downward. And there are many people who live in a state of denial. Oh, well, you know, we're doing pretty good. Things are moving forward. Excuse me. If you look objectively, statistics just came out. There are more refugees in the world today than there have ever been since World War II. More refugees from war. And the world, according to one foundation that keeps track of statistics, is 5% behind what they were last year. It's 5% less peaceful based on the criteria they've set up from, you know, community income to guns to crime, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We've lost 5% since last year. And so all of that comes together to just have you put out the invitation one more time on another level. What can you do? What are you doing? And are you willing to do more? And if we can support you doing more, that's what we're here to do. And if you can support us doing more, then we're happy to be supported in doing it. Because we can reach, we are moving in the direction of critical mass. You know, after 45 years, you know, we just last week got a call from a man in Holland. Gee, I found your book on your website free in English, started doing worksheets, it's changing my life. I'd like to translate your book into Dutch. You know, it's just moving around the globe day by day. And I think it's a result of critical mass and the actions of people like Rex, Dr. Tim, Brad, Michelle, people like this gentleman in Holland who says, I'm going to translate your book into English if you'll let me. We had a woman from Tehran, Iran, Iranian-speaking woman who also speaks English. Same thing. She found a book. This is, goes back now, I guess, about 3 years ago. She found the book online in English free, read it, started doing worksheets, changed my life. So now anybody in Iran has access to the tool of forgiveness as it was originally taught. Is there something in your life that isn't working, and if you shift to coming to another level of service, to bringing forward of how the world works and what's possible for us as human beings. Is there something you need to shift, and can we support you in doing that? So I just invite everybody to come and play. Let's take it to the next level, and let's move this insanity. And again, you've also got to move your feet in your own community. Where there is injustice, you need to speak. You need to do something. That's the only thing that's going to change it. Because where hostility and fear lives, there is conspiracy. That is, and the word conspiracy means, conspire means to breathe together. There are people who are breathing together out of hostility and fear and insanity. I mean, who would think about, we're going to set a jail up and the father can't contact his son unless he pays for a visit. Private jails. You know, they got into the private jailing business by saying, hey, we can do it cheaper than the government does it. yeah, cheaper. And now a father has to pay $15 to take a phone call from his son. We need to start to speak up to that insanity as individuals and as communities and change that in our communities. Refuse. Defund the SWAT team. Defund the SWAT team. We don't need people in flak jackets and attack rifles going around in our community and knocking doors in. And usually the first thing that happens when that takes place, these things are unannounced. They don't call and say, hey, we're the SWAT team. We're coming by to say hello. They break down doors. You know what the first thing that happens is? Family dog gets killed. If there's anybody in the family that has a gun that wants to protect themselves, as the First Amendment says they have a right to do, this is unannounced. They don't know who just broke down their door. If they show up with a gun, they're dead right there in an instant on the spot. We need to wake up. This is running away with us. This is becoming pretty bizarre and off the wall. So it takes action on the part of people. And I just invite everybody to look at that call to action. And if you're ready to do the next level of your work, of course, we're getting ready to start Food Fund Forgiveness and Work Project on Monday. And if anybody wants to come to that and show up a few days early, actually Friday afternoon we're doing a little July 4th gathering. We're going to do a barbecue and, you know, hang out and play. We've got some neighbors coming by. So if there's anybody that's in the area and wants to come down for July 4th for Friday and join us for that and be here for Food Fund Forgiveness and Work, it'll start on the 7th. And then on the 18th, we'll start with codependence, the interdependence and communication practicum, a new 16-day intensive we're doing at Heartland, taking the work to the next level. So if you're ready to do that, we've got that 16-day. Then we go into a 9-day Why Is This Happening to Me Again, a 9-day teacher training. If you're ready to deepen your understanding of the tools, of the, especially of the forgiveness process, that whole 9 days is totally dedicated to understanding and integrating the understanding of first century Aramaic forgiveness. So for those who either want to teach or just want to deepen their understanding of the tool, that 9-day teacher training. And then we'll be doing a 16-day Laws of Living. And, of course, we've been hearing lots from Rex and Michelle about the impact, everything you're hearing about as impact within the prison system, these shifts and changes are coming about as a result of people integrating the tools from Laws of Living. An awesome course. It's 16 days long. And you can find the schedule on our website, www.whyagain.org. And just click intensives and it'll give you a flyer and all the details on what happens. People fly into Springfield, Missouri, and we have a shuttle service and we do this awesome, totally fresh and raw food when we do the intensives. Actually, during the Food Fund Forgiveness and Work, Ari's got some interesting cooked food recipes we're going to be doing as well. But then once we get into the total fresh and raw food, vitalizing, empowering, takes it all to the next level. So if you're ready to do that, we're actually having a small summer. I don't know what the story is, but it seems when we organize an intensive locally, it fills up overnight. I mean, literally the last 4 or 5 intensives that we've done in local areas, within 3 or 4 days, it's full. But for some reason or other, I don't know what the deal is, but since 9/11, prior to 9/11, we would have an average of 30 to 40 people here for intensives. Now, we're lucky, you know, it's like pulling teeth to get people to travel to an intensive. I don't know what the shift is. I don't know what the change is, but, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 people. Really strange. In any event, that's what's happening here. We've got a very sweet crew, and they're working on the Heart Center today to get it ready to open, and Ari's doing food, and all things are moving forward. So if you want to join us, you know where we'd be. And, you know, if money's a challenge and you want to do it, you got the time, but you don't have the money, we've got two options. We do a work support program. You can look on the website and just put in the words work-based support, and it'll bring up a description of our work project, work support game. We have a we can work out, you know, if money's a challenge, we're happy to work with you to do a totally, of course, no-interest payment plan. We spread it out over whatever time makes it comfortable and doable. And then we've got, you know, Amber just arrived, and Amber's going to be here for 2 years on the support team. So lots of options if you want to take it to the next level. And you know, the world brainwashes us into, go get a job, make money, that's all you're worth. And my offering is you're worth more than that, and we're here to support it. So, Jeannie, anything happening in the chat room, any comments on any of that? Or Dr. Tim, anything to share with us on any of those ideas?
Well, the thing I would share is that as I sat and listened to your impassioned pleas, I want to make sure we remind people that whatever might be getting stirred up for them as they listen to your upset about different issues, that they can do the worksheet process and dismantle that energy from within them and restore themselves to that space of love, which is the most important thing to do before deciding what action to take. As we've talked about before on the show, if I get angry about something and decide to act from my anger, whatever else I do that might be useful, I've also added to that energy of anger on the planet. If I get fearful about something and I decide on what action to take based on what the fear is telling me to do, I've just given fear possession of my mind for another day.
Yes.
And so as people are listening to all of the talk about all of the problems in the world and how we're falling behind and whatever might get resonated for people, I just want to remind them that this forgiveness process tool is exactly what can help them dismantle the anger, the fear, the frustration, the negative energy, and restore their mind and their heart's energy to that true nature of what, of the energy of creation, what they were born to extend in every interaction with every person and everything, and that from that space, whatever action they might decide to take to address some of these difficulties you're highlighting will be far more productive. And
absolutely,
that's my input.
Yeah, I'm in full agreement, and I'd like to offer the feedback that an impassioned plea or invitation to action does not mean upset. There's not an equation. There's not an equal sign between those. I did, as I was talking about my friend Randolph, you know, he's a friend for 30 years, I did touch into some grief and actually have done a worksheet on that already as I touched into that grief, speaking of him. But the rest of my conversation for me is from a connected space of enthusiasm and of love and the invitation to take action. And so If you're in a space where you're not doing something about it, especially if you're in a space, and sometimes when I get that impassioned thing going, I get people who go into all kinds of upsets and criticisms and what's wrong with Michael. And, of course, the person who's feeling it belongs to the person who's feeling it. So let's move forward and let's move out of that denial and dissociated place of blaming or thinking that what I'm feeling has got to do with anybody else but me, and move through the layers that I need to move through. And as each of us does that, we arrive in new spaces. Cool. Powerful. So, Jeannie, do we have anything happening in the chat room or anybody with a hand up?
Well, it was kind of funny. As I was typing a line, I was saying, so restoring the turmoil, the desperation that's inside yourself is the first step. And someone had said that they felt so helpless when they hear the world described that way. And then as soon as I finished typing that, Dr. Tim was in it. And I went, oops, Dr. Tim just said that. So yeah. It was like the conversation in the chat room was exactly what you were saying. But
yeah, and many people,
anyway,
you know, in our early lives, many of us experienced, when we were four and couldn't do something about what was happening, we made it up that I'm helpless. 40 years later, I'm not helpless. But my reality might still be that of the four-year-old who felt and thought in terms of their pain around helplessness. And so that's that helplessness coming up is awesome. That's the next worksheet. That's the next piece to work through so that you step into that full empowerment. That's cool. That's cool. Anything else happening in the chat room or anybody with a hand up? Anybody who has any input, questions, thoughts, answers, ideas around this whole process of forgiveness and every tool that we teach? We'd be delighted to have you come and play.
Well, we're down to about or less than a minute and a half, but perhaps one of the things that was just I was just getting ready to mention, what's the Aramaic scripture where it talks about being aware of the errors of your society? And mention that briefly, because it's like, you know, why would we look at that if it brings something up for us?
Good idea. Good piece. So in the Aramaic Beatitudes, what the Beatitudes tell us is that the Creator put a neural structure in us to guide us to happiness and well-being. And the whole set of Beatitudes is an instruction set for accessing that neural structure. And one of them, the one that's historically translated as, blessed are those mourning their wrongs, for they will be comforted. In Aramaic, what it says is, a latent neural structure implanted in you by God to guide you to happiness and well-being comes your conscious possession. You who love truth, who look into your errors in thought and the errors of your society, for you will be cured of mental stress. If you've got that mental stress in there and you're not willing to look into your errors or the errors of your society, your mental stress will kill your cells because your mind functions through every cell in the body. And so to be willing to look in there and forgive that is to remove the load from the cell, to re-empower the cell, strengthen the cell, and give to the world the best gift you could possibly give, and that is the best year yet of your eternal life. Blessings. We appreciate you.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Wright, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com. Sleep.